heart and soul of a nation, beckons the call. The voice of our forefathers heard in the distance.
A house divided against itself cannot stand.
To reclaim our honor.
Our soul. The challenges of a generation call out. Future generations hang in the balance. We choose liberty. This is the voice of a nation.
The nation.
And now, Malcolm.
Well, to put this in perspective, the event that is unfolding right here at the end of 2020 has not happened since the medieval times. And you wonder, what is that exactly? Well, it is this. Monday, December 21st, Jupiter and Saturn, as you heard, will be only 1/10 of 1 degree apart, basically meaning they're right aligned properly in the sky. And you've heard this event is called the Great Conjunction. It's what astronomers call this. It's quite something. There's been a series of these over time. This is the closest Jupiter and Saturn have appeared in our night sky since 1623. And we'll give some historical significance to that in just a bit here. Got to take this further a moment. Is this the same celestial event that led the wise men to Joseph, Mary, and the birth of Jesus Christ, what became known as the Star of Bethlehem, is the question that many are asking. Now, what's interesting about the Star of Bethlehem, and I've got a lot of questions on this myself, truthfully, this was a close conjunction between Venus and Jupiter. And that was on June 7th in the year 2 BC. It's just before you and I were born, my friends, pretty much, huh? Now, that's interesting, and I'm wondering how the Venus and Jupiter align to as comparison to Saturn and Jupiter, because Saturn's a much bigger planet, of course. And that's what makes us so spectacular, I believe, is because Saturn and Jupiter are two big planets in the system here, the solar system. So that makes it even a grander event, I'm imagining here, you know. Now, what I'm thinking is this, as with most deep discussions of faith and science, well, we humans always try to explain our way in and out of our very existence. And you know what I'm talking about, you know, meaning that our faith and our science should somehow equate to each other. And there's always sort of a friendly sparring of each other between the science community and the faith community in ways, you know? Now, you know, I've heard the expression over the years, you have as well, I'm sure, the stars aligned perfectly. How many times have you heard that? You know, it's like when something great happens, and it's like, maybe it's coincidence, maybe it's not. And you say, oh my golly, the stars aligned perfectly. Can you believe I did that? Or something happened? And it was like the perfect thing, right? Or maybe in this case, it's the planets aligning perfectly, you might even say, right? Well, oftentimes, again, when we reference this, it's meant to say that, you know, maybe that was coincidental. So I got thinking more and more about this as I started to think about this moment in time. Here we are at the end of it's hard to sum up the year 2020. I think you'll agree with me on that, right? This is the wildest and craziest year on record, certainly in our human existence, I believe. I can probably say that. And here it's ending with this event, this grand event, this conjunction. And so I'm wondering, when we talk about the coincidental factor of these things or the planets aligning just perfectly, I got thinking more in, you know, the Star of Bethlehem has always been known as a spiritual event, a sign from the heavens, a sign from God of the miracle and birth of Jesus Christ, right? I mean, that's what it is. Some people refer to it as the Star of Christmas, but it's the Star of Bethlehem. So I think the question I pose here to myself and to you and our guests today as well is, if this is a scientific event, I'm wondering, does this take away from the spiritual event that became known as the Star of Bethlehem? And there are the battle lines, I guess, of really science and faith or spiritual world, potentially. So let's talk about that today here. It's a welcome to the program to all of you here. And I want to bring on Tom Harris here. Let me introduce you to Tom. He is executive director of the Ottawa, Canada-based International Climate Science Coalition. He's got a spectacular, terrific article on the platform right now that you'll see entitled Planetary is Spectacular, Ends the Year on a Good Note. So now you say in here, when two objects appear in the night sky very close to each other, as seen from the Earth, astronomers call this a conjunction. What I'm wondering is, this happens to be Jupiter and Saturn. When I referenced the Star of Bethlehem back, you know, in the day, and that day was 2 BC, that was Jupiter and Venus, which you you talk about that in your piece there. I'm wondering the significant difference from a science aspect of Jupiter and Venus when I'm talking about the appearance of the sky, because we always knew the Star of Bethlehem was like, that was the thing, the brightest thing in the sky. Talked about the comparison between Jupiter and Saturn and Jupiter and Venus from the naked eyes here on Earth. What kind of a difference would that make for us, Tom?
Venus is actually the brightest object in the sky after the moon. And so, in fact, a conjunction between Venus and Jupiter would almost certainly have been considerably brighter. While it's more impressive in a way that the two gas giants, the two largest planets in our solar system, Jupiter and Saturn, are in conjunction, it won't be as bright as it would have been at the time of the birth of Christ. Now, of course, we don't know the exact date of his birth, so the fact that it's 2 BC, that's not really a problem. But almost certainly, that was a brighter conjunction. Venus, even though Venus is a smaller planet, it's much closer to the Earth. And of course, it's very white with its clouds. So typically, I would think that the Venus-Jupiter conjunction around 2 BC would have in fact been amazingly spectacular. I mean, this one is spectacular tonight, but the one at 2 BC, whoa, that would have been very, very impressive.
So now that would explain. Now, you just helped me out a lot, Tom, because that tells me, if that was that event back then, that would create that amazing conjunction of Jupiter and Venus, which would have been, wow, the brightest, right? Of bright.
Oh, yeah. And also, apparently, it occurred in Leo, which had an association with the Jewish tradition, and it gave indications that there was something major going on, a little king being born. So indeed, that was a very, very impressive conjunction. And I don't think it takes away from the spiritual event. I mean, the fact is, nature is spiritual in its own sense. And as a consequence, if nature shows us amazing things, then yeah, I think that that can be interpreted very spiritually.
Yeah, I see what you mean by that. And I think I would agree with that, actually, because it doesn't mean at all that they're separate in nature. I mean, that still means that that could have been very intentional and not coincidental that the birth was at that moment, right, Tom?
Oh, yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And you know, conjunctions, it's interesting that this particular conjunction they call a great conjunction when it's the two largest planets in the solar system. It occurs every 20 years. So people might ask, well, if it occurs once every generation, what is it that makes this year's spectacular so rare? And it's because Jupiter and Saturn, like you were saying in the introduction, will be closer together than at the time of Galileo, 1623. And you know, 1623 was an impressive year for all sorts of reasons. It was the year that Shakespeare's collected works were first published. And very likely, Galileo may have seen it. I mean, that particular conjunction was just after sunset. It was close to the sun, so he may not have seen it. And so really, we have to go back to the medieval time period, to March 1226, 800 years ago almost, before the last time that the conjunction was definitely in the night sky. So it is a very unusual event, 800 years ago. And it's actually, we're going to have another conjunction, a great conjunction. And as you said earlier, it's sometimes called grand conjunction. But that's not going to be till 2080. So I don't think I'll be around then, unfortunately.
You just helped me out a lot more now. This is great, the way you just explained that. And because I was, in a lot of the backup research I did for this, it was confusing between the 4 and the 108. Some referenced 400 years, some referenced 800 years. You just explained the difference of that perfectly. That's what makes this event even more so significant, right? I mean,
exactly. And you know, it's going to be interesting because it'll be in a way a test for eyesight. It's going to be very close together, a tenth of a degree, as you were saying earlier.
Right.
And people with exceptionally good eyesight should be able to split it into two independent sources of light. And you can actually get a little bit of practice with this to see, first of all, before you look at Jupiter and Saturn. And by the way, the best thing to do is to go out right at sunset so that your eyes get used to the dark gradually, because about 45 minutes later, you should have a good view of Jupiter and Saturn in the southwestern sky just following the sun. It'll set somewhat, you know, not much later. So if you're not out there by 45 minutes after sunset, you'll probably miss it. But a good thing to do is to look at the Big Dipper. And if you look at the second to last star in the handle, it's actually a double star. It's called Mizar and Alcor, which means horse and rider. Now, those two are about twice as far apart from an angular distance point of view as Jupiter and Saturn will be. Now, we have to remember, of course, that Jupiter and Saturn are really not very close together in physical space. They're hundreds of millions of miles apart. But if you think of it this way, let's imagine that all the planets were running on a racetrack around the sun in the middle of the stadium. We're at one of the inner racetracks, and we're looking out into space, and we see Jupiter, which is passing Saturn in an inner racetrack from Saturn. Saturn is a long way out. Jupiter is just fairly far out. So if you're on an inner racetrack and you're looking out, you're going to see that runner, that planet, actually passing Jupiter every 20 years.
Yeah, that is a great example you use there, Tom. I want to ask you, I don't know if you know the answer to this, but I'm really wondering and puzzled. When we talked about Jupiter and Venus, which is, again, as we opened up and noted back in, what was it, 2 BC, I think I said?
Yeah, that's right.
Which was, on, and I love this. I'm always amazed when we can say things like, Tom, oh, on June 7th, like, how do we really even, I mean, it blows my mind, though, really. Like, oh, you know, on June 7th, at about this time of the day, it's like, wow, that's really scientific at that point, isn't it, Tom, you know?
Oh, yeah. Well, one of the cool things about the planets, and you have to remember the planets comes from the Greek for wandering star. The planets actually move quite quickly across the background of stars. But the thing about the planets is it's really cool. You can see them change position from night to night. And, you know, even when you look at Jupiter through a telescope, you can see actual dynamics of the solar system in operation, because those four Galilean moons, which Galileo saw in 1610 with his telescope, they're moving night to night. You know, there's four of them, Ganymede, Io, Callisto, and Europa, they move around Jupiter. Now, of course, that got Galileo into a lot of trouble, because once he saw that, he realized the Earth was not the center of everything, because those moons, for example, were moving around Jupiter. Now, that got him into a huge amount of trouble, and he spent the rest of his life on house arrest because he was not politically correct. He would just say whatever he found. Mm-hmm. But Jupiter and Saturn are fun to watch, because from night to night, if you use a small telescope, you can see them changing position very radically, and it shows the dynamics of a moving solar system.
Yeah, it is fascinating. You know, I was just thinking to myself, I wish we were closer in distance geographically, because you're a brain in this stuff, and you have a telescope yourself, don't you? You.
Yeah, that's right. I have an 8-inch telescope, right. And in my article, 8-inch diameter, that right. is. Right. It's a Celestron wow. C8, a very good scope. I've had it for 40 yeah. years. And through that, you can actually see a view of the rings of Saturn very clearly, and you can see bands on the surface of Jupiter. So it's quite exciting. In my article, you can see essentially what I see when I look at Jupiter and Saturn. Mm-hmm. You know, so they're really very fun to look at.
Interesting. Tom, the coming together of the event back in 2 BC, as I mentioned, Venus and Jupiter, which I'm pretty convinced at this moment did become indeed the Star of Bethlehem based on all the things we're talking about now. What I don't know or don't understand is, when is the last time Venus and Jupiter would have done the same thing it did in 2 BC?
I don't actually know. I'll check into it, though.
This is an interesting question, and I got really thinking about that, Tom, because that could create, I mean, think about this, and maybe that's a follow-up to our story here, and even the article and the program we're doing here today, because that could tell us something. For me, anyways, personally, it might tell us something, Tom. It might tell me, what's the next big, I've never heard anybody speak about this, but what's the next big grand event in the existence of humankind when it comes to our spiritual faith and the fact that these things do align the way they do, if you are a believer and understand faith. And, you know, again, I love it sometimes when the science community and the spiritual community are at odds, but both things can be in existence, I think. Huh, Tom?
Oh, yeah, exactly. You know, I just want to say one thing quickly, and that is that Joren, actually, if we're going to get together, I'd rather go south, not only because it's warmer, but because your planets will be higher in the sky. Our planets this time of year will be very low. So we'll be looking through a lot of atmosphere. So people in Florida and Texas and Arizona, you'll have a much better view because this conjunction will be higher in the sky. Also, indeed, Arizona, I imagine you'll have a clear sky. We, unfortunately, it's forecast to be cloudy here.
Good part of the country here in the United States is in a good position to view this event, then, you're saying.
Oh, yeah, exactly. So indeed, look to the southwest, 45 minutes after sunset. Get into a part of the terrain where you're not going to be blocked by trees and houses, because, in fact, it's going to be quite low. However, you still have a much better view than a lot of the world.
Right. Interesting. I love that. And people are going to be watching. The other thing to mention is, and because some people will hear this on talk radio, some people will hear our talk that we're having today on podcast even, and the value of the message coming out of today's program is very powerful indeed. And I think listeners will see that as we continue on here. But I want to say, Tom, that even though the Monday is that grand or great conjunction, from what I understand, and correct me on this now, I believe Sunday and I believe Tuesday also are significant periods of time where you can also see, because they're very close together again, almost the same sort of event. Is that correct?
Well, that's right. In fact, if it's cloudy tonight, Tuesday night, Wednesday night will still be very good. Not quite as tight, but in fact, yeah. So it's worth looking up there whenever you have a clear night in the next few nights.
Oh, even I didn't even realize, even Wednesday night, you're right, because it takes time for them to move that much further apart, right? Even though...
Yeah, that's right. By Wednesday night, it'd probably be in the neighborhood of a third of a degree apart, which is still very close. So it's worth looking up and, you know, marveling at the solar system dynamics as Jupiter runs past Saturn and then moves ahead of Saturn. Right now it's behind Saturn. It catches up and passes. And that's an exciting thing to see.
You know, Tom, I am always really, truly fascinated with our universe. And I love the fact that I get to talk to smart people like you and people like Dr. Jay Lehr and Professor Larry Bell and so many others in the scientific community who understand these things far better than I. I always find it just really exhilarating to do that. But as we now take a look at 2020, Tom, I want to take a few moments and talk to you about what we've just come through in our country. And what this, you know, how we should take this as, here we are, this grand event here that we're talking about here. And as you say in your piece here, your article, ends the year on a good note. There's been a lot of strangeness and oddities to the year 2020. And I know about everybody in my existence, in my circle and outside of my circle, want to see that year never comes back again, because it has been, you know, a very difficult year for so many. And they're anxious to get on to the new year, 2021. Talk about what your belief is to this moment with, again, the planets aligning, as I started with, and how we should look at this as a people as we now cross the line into a new year. Your thoughts, sir?
Well, yeah, I think it's quite meaningful, because it reminds us that science operates independently of human interests, okay? Now, it's interesting because... you know, Galileo ended up in a lot of trouble because he questioned the political correctness of his day. And so, but he was doing it based on science and based on observations and based on facts. He was not doing it based on dogma. And so, indeed, I think it gives us a lesson that the universe unfolds in a way that is pretty magical in its own sense, but nevertheless, it does so in accordance with laws, and that we can't change that because of political correctness. And, you know, take the climate debate, for example. I mean, if politicians like U.S. Senator Sheldon Whitehouse get their way, anyone who questions, using really valid, good, solid data and observations, if they question the climate scare, You know, White House is trying to turn us into criminals, the same way Galileo was turned into a criminal because he questioned political correctness. But indeed, we have to use science and we have to use true observations and be honest with ourselves. If our beliefs don't match the real world, then we should be prepared to change them. And that's what Galileo did. I mean, he was astounded. He thought at first he was seeing stars beside Jupiter, but when he looked night after night, they changed position. So he used real data to change his belief system and to change his actual conclusions about how the universe worked. And you know what, my wife and I went to the Galileo Museum in Florence. And I mean, that's an amazing place. People should go there. But it really reminds us that we should keep an open mind to alternative points of view, especially in science, where we don't control it. It happens independently of us, and we should be humble in the face of nature and recognize that our ideas can be wrong. Sadly, as I say in the climate debate and all sorts of things, political correctness is dominating and just overriding the real science that we should be using to shape our activities.
So beautifully said. And the museum you went into, I've been to Italy several times, but I've never been to that museum. That is one to see, huh?
Oh, man. You walk into the Galileo astronomy section. And of course, there's many sections since the guy was a Renaissance man. He did all sorts of experiments with gravity and hydraulics and all sorts of things. But you go into the astronomy section and you're greeted at the entrance by his finger, which is true. I mean, Italy, they love to have relics of famous people or saints or whatever, whether it's their hair or whatever. But not only do you have Galileo's original telescope, and I took a picture of that, which is appearing in the America Out Loud article, but you have his finger and all in his actual dialogue on two world systems, you know, where he was questioning the contemporary view of the universe. The actual book that got him into so much trouble is right there. It's like Galileo's looking over your shoulder, and it's a moving museum. I'll tell you, it is amazing.
Well, that's a beautiful thing. Thank you for sharing that. And, you know, I love the quote you put out there, and I just want to reiterate to everybody, as you listen to Tom Harris here, I've got to attribute this quote to you here when you say, if our beliefs don't match the real world, then we need to change those beliefs. Tom, that is a strong message for everybody listening as we come into a new year.
Right. Thank you.
Absolutely. And God love you, man. Thank you for being here and with me. And, you know, and I want to tell you one other thing, Tom, and it's this. And you know, if I ever got that famous in this lifetime, my friends, and they put me in a museum. Now, I know this is my ego talking now, but let's say I got that famous, as Tom was just saying, just play with me a minute, okay? And they said, we're going to put this guy, you know, what part of the body they would put in for me, do you know? Well, would be my mouth, obviously, right? Don't know when to shut up. On that note, we will continue on with the program here. Another special guest coming up in just a moment as we take a look at really the spiritual side of this amazing moment in our history. And in a crazy year of 2020, it was always supposed to be perfect vision, but it fell far short of that. Or did it maybe? This, again, nothing maybe is too coincidental. I mean, it's a point to all of these things and the lessons we've experienced this past year. Stay right there, my fellow Americans, and I'll be back with you just on the other side of the buzz.
Our global experts are brilliant writers and engaging hosts on a mission of a lifetime. You'll find the latest news and inspiration on the front page of AmericaOutLoud.com.
Think back to the last time you felt healthy and energized. The best times of our lives occur when we're at the peak of our health, sleeping better, full of energy and focus. We know that fades with age, and you might be feeling the effects of aging as low energy and poor sleep. But it doesn't have to be that way. There haven't been any nutrition systems designed to rejuvenate our bodies as we get older, until now. Healthy Cell Pro is the only multi-nutrient system that impacts the building block of your body, the cell. Created by anti-aging expert and Nobel Prize nominee, Dr. Vincent Giampapa, award-winning Healthy Cell Pro cuts through the complexity of nutrition supplements by simply giving you the purest ingredients, filling dietary gaps to nourish your cells and enhance your quality of life for optimal performance. visit HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for an exclusive discount or call 844-869-9958.
Spreading the out loud truth from sea to shining sea. AmericaOutloud.com is the voice of liberty and justice for all. This is not a fight of Republican versus Democrat. It's not a fight of rich versus poor, old versus young, man versus woman, gay versus straight. It's not a fight of black lives, blue lives, Hispanic lives, or white lives. This is a battle of good versus evil. It's a fight for the soul of humanity. We are the vision of the voices, America Out Loud Talk Radio.
Listen to Malcolm, the voice of a nation, on iHeartRadio or our free apps on Apple, Android, or Alexa.
You know, this is it's an interesting year, an interesting moment of time, this great or grand conjunction, as we call it here. But, you know, I posed the question up front there, which I think is a very interesting question about the spiritual side versus the science part of that, this here event. And it can both things be true is, I guess, what I was trying to drive at, you know. And I've always been fascinated with this back and forth that the science community has with the spiritual community and faith, of course, our faith as Christians. You know, many Christians knew that this star was a miraculous sign from God. And there's been a lot of talk over the, well, over the eons of time, of course, all the way back to 2 BC, as we said earlier. It was known as the star prophecy. People talked about it. Astronomers talked about it. That conjunction, that magical moment. Let me now bring on to the program here, a very dear friend of the program and one of our experts on the network here, Dr. Elizabeth Lee Vliet is here. She's an independent physician specializing in preventive and climacteric medicine out of Arizona. But today it's just Lee, and I'm thrilled to have you here with me, Lee. Back to the question I posed up front here, if this is a scientific event, it is, and if the Star of Bethlehem, your view of the Star of Bethlehem, I never looked at this in my mind, Lee, as a grand conjunction or a great conjunction through my Sunday school days, I'm saying. I looked at it as the spiritual faith side of the fact that it was a sign from God of the birth of Jesus Christ and the Star of Bethlehem. Give me your view on that, please.
Well, Malcolm, I really enjoyed what Tom had to say, especially as he talked about in the end about the fact that science follows its laws and doesn't pay attention to our politically correct interpretation. So I think that has relevance for today in many ways related to this grand conjunction of the star, as well as all that we've been dealing with in 2020. And I'll come back to that. But I see this grand conjunction as absolutely a spiritual and scientific, and I see it metaphorically. I think it's all of the above. I don't think it's an either or. I never think of things as either or. I think of them as connected. And I think it's important to bring out to your audience, we think today about physicians, which of course I'm a physician, I'm a scientist, I follow the laws of science. And we think about us being scientists and students of the physical body. And yet our health is related to our psyche, our spiritual well-being, and our physical well-being. And another part of me relates very deeply to what Pythagoras said in the 5th century BC about the role of a physician. And he said, I quote, "The physician's job is to teach men and women the physical and spiritual laws of life and to live in accordance with God's purpose for them," end quote. And it's from this perspective that I view the Christmas star this year in 2020. Yes, it's a scientific phenomenon, as Tom Harris explained, we haven't seen for 800 years. And to me, it is also a spiritual message from a compassionate God bringing his light and hope on the darkest, longest night of the year, the winter solstice. The fact that this Christmas grand conjunction is coming 4 days before the birth of Christ that we celebrate, and on the same night as the winter solstice, in what for many of us in America and around the world really has been the darkest time in our lives. We've been crippled by fear of COVID, losing jobs, income, freedoms, as the government responses to a virus has absolutely devastated the lives of millions of people around the world, especially in America, leading to the loss of our basic core freedoms with the government responses. And that has led millions of people to lose hope and almost go through. And I, in some ways, I've lived some of this myself as a dark night of the soul over 2020. And then suddenly, at the end of the year, we're blessed with seeing this brilliant light as the two largest planets come together and make a brilliant light of hope in the sky. And hope is so crucial for every aspect of our health, our physical health, our emotional health, our spiritual health. Without hope, Malcolm, as we've seen this year so overwhelmingly, people die or they take their own lives in despair. Hope is what keeps us alive. And now, this moment, we have a light in the dark. The similar grand conjunction of science. And for those of us who believe God designs the heavens and God control, Bible tells us God controls the heavens. So this star that shone over Bethlehem at the time of Christ's birth was two different planets then, but it's two other planets now, and it creates the same type of grand conjunction star. And at the time of Christ's birth, that was another time. Historically, we know people were facing fear, uncertainty, devastating, grinding poverty, oppression, tax burdens, and brutal control by the Roman Empire. So just as the totalitarian control was taking over the world in the darkness and evil of the times, Christ's birth brought hope and symbolized by the light of the star. And so I really see this Christmas star metaphorically too, in this year of the biggest election uncertainty and massive fraud in our history, truly an evil agenda to steal the election from the people of this country. Mm-hmm. I see the timing of the Christmas star bringing hope as well for our country. Not spiritually, it brings hope, but it also brings hope that God has been hearing the prayers of millions of Americans, that our voices will be heard, that our country's constitution will prevail over all of the fraud and efforts to steal America and to collapse us into a totalitarian darkness ruled by a few powerful elite persecuting citizens for different beliefs, just as was happening in Jesus' time. And I just cannot believe that the God whose divine providence inspired our founders and has seen us through all of the wars and plagues and economic crises will now abandon his people and turn us over to the forces of darkness and oppression. I just cannot believe that. So I choose to believe that God will allow the good to prevail. And this light, this hope, this star is a message of hope for me that God won't allow the loss of his gifts of liberty and life.
You put so much out there that is so perfect. I mean, my spirits have been lifted just since the beginning of this program and this broadcast, understanding the plight of our nation and what we are going through with really a double punch of starting the year with COVID and ending the year with an election debacle to the likes of both we've never seen in our lifetimes, you see. And considering all of that, and now we look at where we're at right now with this event, then I think back, Lee, that there's really not much that is coincidental, if anything, in our lives. Things happen for reasons. it appears to me, you know, that, again, nothing being coincidental, there was the where both of these communities come together. And I really like the way I look at this now, where science and spiritual both can be right. And it's the same thing now when we're talking about the way at this very moment where Jupiter and Saturn come together. And now we're looking at this great conjunction again. And nothing is coincidental. So, Lee, I think you're on to a very big message for everybody, for all Americans to take heed with. And that is there is great hope ahead and there always should be hope. And when we lose hope, you're right. We lose everything. We lose our spirit, our minds, our bodies. We fail in so many ways. So we always have to be optimistic. We always have to have hope, Lee, right? That's what this is all about.
Absolutely, Malcolm. That's why there have been so many suicides this year. People have lost hope. And that leads to suppression of the immune system in the scientific world. Mm-hmm. As we look at how the body works, loss of hope definitely affects function and immune response of the body. Mm-hmm. The whole field of psychoneuroimmunology is based on understanding how our spiritual beliefs, our psychological beliefs, our psychological well-being affects our physical health and our response to disease. So as people became more frightened, more fearful of COVID and more panicked about loss of income and loss of freedom, that spirals downward in the loss of hope. And remember, the churches were closed. I mean, we could go to Walmart and we could go to Costco and we could shop everywhere in the big box stores owned by the big corporate giants, but we couldn't go to church. So people were cut off their churches, all the sources of support, the threads that weave the fabric of America together, our social fabric, were just ripped apart. And that devastating impact to create fear and loss of hope has had horrific health consequences, far greater than what we've seen with COVID, actually. And if we truly look at the causes of death over this past year and how deaths from alcoholism, drug abuse, suicide, domestic violence, undiagnosed cancers that spiraled out of control, all of those are going to exceed the deaths from COVID because of the impact of the decisions that government bureaucrats made directions to the people that were politically driven, not following the laws of science and true infection control and early treatment. Exactly what Tom Harris just said about climate science and people being persecuted for not following the party line on climate change is exactly what's been happening in the management of COVID in medicine, with those of us on the front line following the science, carefully summarizing the data, looking at what's working, following the principles of medicine to treat diseases early, especially viral diseases, where we are persecuted, threatened, intimidated, and censored, and unable to practice medicine the way that we should based on the science and the data.
Yeah. So now
exactly analogous.
Yeah, it is. And you can apply that same analysis to the business community and all of it. But taking it further now, Lee, and to put this all together here, I think what I'm thinking is back to when I said most things and probably nothing is coincidental in this life. Everything is very intentional. And now I'm thinking even in a bigger way now, when we see this great conjunction come together with Jupiter and Saturn in a very oddest of years, odd would be a pleasant way to say it, but this has been the strangest of years that any of us have probably experienced in our lifetimes.
Devastating year, I would say.
That's right. That's right. Strange and devastating is exactly it. But, I'm thinking, Lee, back to our faith, I have to believe there is a purpose to these things, just as, and let me say this to you, just as God put the Star of Bethlehem up there in 2 BC with the coming together of Venus and Jupiter as a sign of hope to that moment of time. Potentially that has happened here in the year of our Lord 2020 now, in the same way that Jupiter and Saturn have come together in a year that has been very depressing and questionable, as you've just said. However, you know, there is typically a purpose to all these things. And I have to believe there probably has been a purpose to COVID, probably a purpose to the way that politics have played out, a purpose to the election, and a purpose to where we sit right now. That is an interesting way to look at things. But in that particular way, you look at it, Lee, the glass is half full, no matter how you look at it. And if there is purpose and these things are not coincidental, well, that should align in the sky as we look at this momentous event and give all of us hope that there is a tomorrow and we will get there.
Yes, Malcolm. And I would say, remember, God may not have planned the purpose that you mentioned for all of these horrific events and the deaths. But in our Christian faith, we do believe God gives mankind free will to make choices. We don't always make the best ones, but God's ultimate will prevails. And God tells us in the Bible that in all things, for people called by my name, all things work together for the good of those who turn to me. And I'm paraphrasing Romans 8:28, but God brings good out of what has been intended for evil. So I do believe that, and I am holding on to that faith as I pray for our president, for our country, for our freedoms, and for our ability to live our lives in freedom as our Creator intended.
Yeah, absolutely. Beautifully said there, Dr. Elizabeth Lee Vliet, and what a beautiful message there. And I was so excited to have her on and then Tom Harris on. And what Lee says there is so vital, because as you all know out there, it is the essence of my belief and my DNA and this show, this platform, this program, my system, in the fight of good versus evil. That is what we're talking about here. And it's an interesting juxtaposition for us to be in right now. There is a purpose to these things. And I totally endorse when she says, we have given the power to fight the evil with that free will. And we must do that. That's exactly it. Not only all of these events and the things we create in this world, you cannot blame these on God. But again, our faith and what we do with that and how we bring it forward is going to be the key moving forward. We'll talk about that next as we pause here. More Voice of a Nation just after this.
The silent majority has spoken. We say, let the silent voices be heard. You can be the voice of change. Contact our producer at liberty@americaoutloud.com. liberty@americaoutloud.com.
Did you know the average person spends 26 years of their life sleeping? The real troubling statistic is that we spend 7 years of our life trying to get to sleep, struggling with racing minds, tossing and turning. If you're one of the millions of Americans who need better quality sleep, the time to change is now. Sleep is proven to extend our lifespan, protect against terrible diseases like cancer, heart disease, and dementia, make us more attractive and thinner, feel calmer and happier, and boost energy levels, memory, and performance. Until now, most sleep supplements haven't worked, but a new, easy-to-swallow sleep gel, invented by the leading nutrition company, Healthy Cell, is designed to support all four stages of human sleep to help you fall asleep, stay asleep, sleep deep, and wake up refreshed. It's called REM Sleep. To get a free two-night supply of REM sleep, visit healthycell.com/sleep. That's healthycell.com/sleep.
I have always looked at the end of a year as a great time, and the blessings of looking forward to the next year, the new year. For me, it's always a line of opportunity that we get the chance to do it all over again, but we get to improve it. And I always look at that as I make my own personal goals and the objectivities of what I want to accomplish in this world. And it's a very personal thing for me. I hope you do that yourself in your life, but it is an opportunity for us all to cleanse ourselves and and to take on a new life, a new belief system. Now, Tom Harris said that very well in the early part of the program, and he said it right out there. If our beliefs don't match the real world, then we need to change those beliefs. And I believe that is a great place to start. And when you go from there and you bring it back to what Dr. Elizabeth Leaf-Leet was just saying, in the fight of good versus evil, and that all of these things in our lives are not coincidental. Now, it's important to circle back and say this. We've all come through this horrific year that it is. We see what the business community is going through and the decimation of small business, which is very troubling, to say the least, of what's happening. But yet all the big boxes and the big conglomerates and gazillionaires can stay open and they're having record profits and doing amazing things. Yet the decimation of that is something we need to fix, and we need to fix it quickly, my friends, right there. The health community, for the health and well-being of all of us, having hope, as Lee was just saying, so vitally important. But, you know, look at what's happened with healthcare, the runaway healthcare cost and the disagreements in the health world of how we've addressed COVID, how we've handled it. Again, problems, yes, but hopefully an opportunity again to get it right. In all of these worlds, including the political world, you see the election, you see what's happened in the separation and in the massive division and the hatred of these political ideologies and where we find ourselves today. Problem, yes. All of the things I point out to you right now all sincerely come back to the fight of good and evil. It is important to note this, my friends, is, you know, we sometimes go through these moments of our lives and where they're not good, because we all have ups and downs. It's just, that's universal. There is no smooth path on the interstate of life here. The interstate highway of life means there are times you're going to, you know, excel forward. You're going to really hit the gas and you'll be humming along, beautiful mountainsides, everything is great. And there are other times when you won't be. And it is problematic, and you have to fix things and you have to adjust things in your life. And, you know, but we should always have hope and opportunity. But the key to this is this. Sometimes I've seen those stories, you've probably seen them too, where something really bad goes wrong in life. Somebody dies unexpectedly, it's a horrible accident. Some situation took out a life or a series of lives, like Lee was just pointing to with COVID, but it could even be a catastrophic, like a 9/11 event, could be an airplane, could be anything, could be an auto accident, could be some horrific event. And you sometimes see those family members, and I've seen those very personal moments where people look and they would blame God. And you see, I've caught on to this now, where there are people who want to blame God for when things don't go right or things go wrong. But that is to suggest that God controls and manipulates our entire lives. And that's simply not the case. And I say all the time, you know, Lee just said it real well, but you know, it's my message about free will. When people put those messages out there and they say, don't you worry, don't you worry. God is in control. He's got it all handled here. And you can just sit back in the back seat and just coast forward in life. And those messages, I think, do a lot of harm to us, because I do not believe in that sense that God has it all in control and that he's going to control all of our lives, all of our decisions, the good, the bad, and the ugly. I don't think it's God's plans and his job to continue to go down aisle 3, 5, and 8 to clean up our mess. I think that comes back to us. And I think there is evil will always exist in the world. It's been there since the serpent in the garden scene there. It's always been, it's going to be there. And it's never not going to be a part of this life. It's how we deal with it is what my message to you today is. How we deal with it. You know, there are times when I feel like I've gotten the short end of the stick from somebody. Something didn't quite go my way. And I think for a moment, and you know, I get flooded immediately with, well, I'm going to get back at them. That's the human nature of things, where we want to get back at somebody. We say, well, you know, they did that in the wrong way to me, or I don't like the way they did that, or they're a taker. And there are a lot of givers, and you know, you're either a giver or a taker, they always say in this life. And it's important to know where you fall into that battle. Are you here to contribute to life, or are you here to just take from life? That is an essence of a lot of this good and evil talk that we have regularly. But I think often if we step back, and even though we're not happy with what that moment is, and this happens to me a lot, I'm telling you, but you know, when I step back and I take the moment to really think it through, I then realize it's not going to be perfect. There is a purpose and a point to all of these things. And surely we can find the good out of whatever that situation is. And more than that, we can learn to correct the ship and turn it upright again. So to make evil good again with whatever the situation is that we are confronting. And there are things, and it happens every day. I mean, listen, there are things that have happened in the last few days for me that I could point to immediately and say, well, you know, these things are unfair. It's unfair that this has happened this way, and it's not right. And I don't like the way he did that or she did that, or they didn't do things with my best interest at heart. And, you know, happens all the time, doesn't it? But it's how we deal with that situation. We step back and we look. So we are each in control of our lives, our situations. And if we're centered on our faith and we're centered on God and what that faith factor is in your life, as it is in mine and as it is in Lee and Tom's, and what we get out of life is what we put into it is what we will always get out of. It's like everything else in our lives. But I think what we're losing sight of here coming through this year of 2020, really and truly, is the fight of good and evil. I believe we are losing sight of this as a people, and there are those who are blaming God for everything that ails us. They believe that God should clean up and not allow anybody to die, that we would live forever, and that somebody would not die, whether it's a young age of 7 or 17 or 57 or 107. Again, there are a lot of factors in our lives, and God isn't controlling all of those things. That is the free will of man. It's important we begin to recognize this as a people. If we're going to fight the evil people on the planet, whether it be terrorists, whether it be countries that have gone rogue like North Korea and China and others, you know, whether we're going to deal with that in some way, or those that have, they don't have good at heart, and they are out for evil purposes. They want to do harm to people. They want to do harm to us. And that leaves us in a very peculiar place. And even more so when we're talking about missiles and nuclear weapons and, or cyber attacks or whatever it is that evil people will use. A lot of this falls into the political spectrum. You know, when we talk about, well, we don't want Iran to have a nuclear weapon. Well, I can tell you right now, either does God. I mean, the fact is that they're on the other side of the sea from Israel and God's people. That would tell you one reason why nobody wants Iran to have it. Now, can they get that? It's possible. I mean, does God control everything around that? It's the same argument, just like God controlling whether you go to the supermarket today and something happens. I mean, he doesn't control everything around that, nor does he control that. And I think that's where that makes all of this very relevant, the conversation, very delicate as well, in why we have a responsibility as Christians, why we have a responsibility as patriots, as a responsibility of Americans to do the right thing. And it is always to right the ship from evil to good. And it's to put good back in its proper place. I know that's my journey. It's my path forward. It's my existence. It's why I'm here. And for me, my fellow Americans, I have known this journey for me, truthfully, since I was a young boy, probably 15 years old. It is a lesson I knew then. I didn't know how or why, but I knew God was going to use me for some interesting things in my life. I didn't know when that would be or what would happen. But I knew it then as clear as I know it today. And although, like you, I've gone through chapters in my life, some really terrific, some high, and some low points. And we all struggle through those low points. There is no easy free ride in this lifetime. It does not exist for anybody. It doesn't matter how you spell your name. You see, whether you spell it T-R-U-M-P or whether you spell it S-M-I-T-H or O-U-T-L-O-U-D, however you spell it, we all have to succumb to these forces. We all put our pants on. We all have to breathe and eat and think. And we have to decide, are we going to fall on the good side or the bad side? So as we now take on a new year, it is important that we all step back and we look at this grand, great conjunction, this moment in time. You know, back then in 2 BC, it was called the Star of Bethlehem. Perhaps we come up with a new name today. And for me, I will dub this the Star of Liberty in 2020. So in 2 BC, we had the Star of Bethlehem, and this is the Star of Liberty. It's our fight for liberty. It's back to our roots. It's back to our constitutional privileges and our freedoms and what we stand for in America. It is the star that should give us each hope, the Star of Liberty, the star that will shine, that God has brought together again in that moment of conjunction to say, hey, we're here. Liberty is still there. It's a gift I've given you in humankind, and I've given you as America. We are the hope of the world. We are, as we say, the hope to the world. And this, to me, is a measure. And as Tom Harris was saying earlier, the fact that we can see it so beautifully and so broadly in the United States, that we can look up and see this amazing event, this conjunction, where, again, the planets align. So finally, it's a moment. Yeah, let's look at it that way. Through a very difficult and horrendous road of curves and dips and valleys and potholes, we now find ourselves at a moment of conjunction, at a moment when the star arises in the sky to give hope back to all, the Star of Liberty, the star that we can do it again, my fellow Americans, that we can reach just a little bit deeper. I wish you and yours the most amazing season here of giving through this Christmas season, the birth of Christ, or the Hanukkah season, or the moment, or your belief system yourself, whatever that is, and that you also get that Star of Liberty in your life, and you'll embrace that, that all of us as a diversified people can grab onto that Star of Liberty and count our blessings and right the ship from evil to good once again. Thank you. It is a privilege always to be with you. And thank you for being on this mission today with me. It's time to get involved and get loud.